I'd like to just kind of carry on with that thought of needing the gospel. And I was mentioning to Cody earlier, I've had all these small ideas of things that I would like to try to add into a lesson, and I was trying to figure out how to deliver it. So that's kind of what I came up with. Our first lesson was just kind of putting some ideas together. And the preacher at Lachlan used to call them potpourri lessons. It was just, here's just a kind of a smattering of a few things that didn't create a whole lesson, but it's just some ideas put together. I really enjoyed doing that. However, I'd like to take more of a closer look at needing the gospel. So, as I mentioned, in Washington, D.C., there's a new museum there called the Museum of the Bible. It was quite interesting to go to. This is, it's non-denominational, so they didn't anything about denominations. It's literally just history of the Bible. Different writings of the Bible dating all the way back to the Dead Sea Scrolls. There are pieces of the Dead Sea Scrolls there. So it's just really interesting to see all of these pieces here in this museum, to actually look at these entire letters. I think they had several letters. I think it was 1 John. They had the entire book of 1 John dating all the way back to like 300 A.D., and it was still, you know, in the same writing that we would read it today. So it was just very interesting to see all these things. So walking around inside, I just noticed quite a few things, especially in this area of the museum. And I started looking in different places, looking here, whoops, right there, that all of these were writings of the letters. So I think it was 1 Peter through 1 John. All of these were different letters. They were from different time frames, but a lot of them were like a snippet of 1 John, you know, just a fragment of each letter. And I was thinking, wow, how important is that they spread the gospel at this time frame? A lot of them were duplicates. You know, like this letter from 1 John was found in a certain area, then another piece of 1 John was found in a different area. You know, that really made me think about how they're really trying to spread the word. Because what people need was the gospel. So with that, I was thinking today that an intro to this lesson would be what the world needs most. And I was thinking of that when I'm looking at all of the different letters and all of the different writings, that they were trying to get the Bible out so everyone could read it. So everyone could follow it. So it seems what the world needs most. Of course, what the world needs most is God's light. Now, just to kind of give you an idea of the way that I've laid this out this morning, I have several supporting verses up here at the top. But just for time's sake, we're not going to read them all today because I have a couple hundred. So what I did is I just picked one or two. The other ones are going to be up across the top. So if anybody would like a copy of the lesson while I'm done, I'd be more than happy to print it for you because there is a lot of supporting verses for each of these. So when I was just thinking God's light, here in John 1 and 9, it states, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Also in John 1 and 29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thinking about just the importance of Jesus, importance of the gospel and God's light, that we knew that Jesus came to take our sins away. So just to mention God's gospel, this is mentioned here in Mark 16 and 15. Again, it's also mentioned in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. But I read that at the close of the last sermon. In Mark 16 and 15, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So preach the gospel. To go and preach the gospel to every creature. We see this as commanded to them by the ones following Jesus here, to go and preach to them. We have the apostles mentioned there. And also, God's reconciliation. So in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 20, it says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I've thought about this quite a bit. As you guys know, I work at a college, and we actually have ambassadors. They're student ambassadors. They're students that go around helping other students find their way through the college. And I was thinking that this word ambassadors is really important here, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, I do think it's interesting, too, that in order to be an ambassador, you have to have a very high GPA. You have to go through a lot of things in order to be declared an ambassador. So I was thinking that with us as well, that we have to follow Christ and do his will and follow his gospel in order to be an ambassador. Also, we need God's salvation. 1 Timothy 1 and 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and a worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, on whom I am chief." We can see the comments from Paul here in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. Because when we think about what Paul did, where he locked up Christians and had them killed before God came to him, I believe that's why he mentions here that he, because of all the things that he's had recorded against him. And I think about when I study with other people about how they said, well, I've done things in my past. I'm like, well, have you wrote letters saying that you need to lock up Christians? Were you there when other Christians were stoned? We know that Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. It seems like some pretty harsh things. But yet God is willing to accept him. Why wouldn't he be willing to accept everyone? Because we must speak this gospel. And we must be accountable. In Romans 6 and 23 it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in 1 Corinthians 9 and 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessary it is laid upon me, yes, woe is me, if I do not preach the gospel." So we know that we'll be accountable for spreading the word. So if we spread the word, what do sinners need to know? Now, sinners in this case is used for everyone. Everyone has fallen short and sinned against God. So here in James 1:21 it says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls," or the gospel. Because we know the devil can blind people against the gospel. As mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the gods of the age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." So we know that the devil is here to blind us from the gospel. And we know that because we have warnings not to follow any other gospel than what has been prepared for us. We also get that from 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. "For if he who comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So we are warned about this. We know that in the New Testament, there was a lot of people preaching and teaching things that were incorrect, and then they were not following the gospel. Another verse that I like to use in reference of the gospel and following it is in Galatians. Now, I think this verse is pretty impactful. Galatians 1:6-9 states, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." There's others trying to teach a different Christ at this time. And then here in the book of Galatians, he is warning them not to turn from it. "But even if we, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what have been preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So I've really thought about that. And, of course, I like to jump out and read the news. And I was reading the news about 3 days ago. And this was one of the top articles I came across. And, of course, this really bothered me. When is it okay to quit church? Here are 5 reasons to leave. And there's a book out called Quit Church Because Your Life Would Be Better If You Did. Well, that kind of bothers me. Because with the verses that I just read, it mentions not to do that. Remember, we are the church. The members are the church. And we know that the church is also the bridegroom that Christ has set up. So I know that it can be hard. Sometimes it can be really hard work for the church. However, we're told to follow it, to follow the gospel. Because we know that the gospel is also the work of the congregation, or also the church. So in Acts 8 and 4 it says, therefore those who are scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So we know that it had spread. Here about 3 or 4 years ago, I gave a sermon on about how fast I think the gospel would have spread to all areas of the known world. Because we know that on the day of Pentecost, there was people from all over the known world that came to the day of Pentecost, and they all heard it. And then when they all returned home, they would have spread the word even further, which just makes it even more interesting if you ever get a chance to go to the Bible Museum, because pieces and fragments of the New Testament were found everywhere, everywhere. All the way up into the 1400s and 1500s, fragments were just found everywhere. We must speak all of it. It's kind of another warning that's given to us, is to obey all of the commands. In Matthew 28 and 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the even of the end of the age. Amen. So this is the last part of Matthew. Matthew 28 and 20, that we are commanded to learn and to teach all things. Also, we're used the whole counsel of Acts 20 and 2 says, now when he had gone over the region and encountered them with many words, he came to Greece, talking about teaching and spreading the word. And Acts 20 and 7, it says, for I have not shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God, to go and to preach the whole counsel of God. That's why, again, this morning, I would ask that everybody would go back and read all of these scriptures in context. Because in order to get the whole counsel of God, it's best to put this in context. Because we know that every inch of scripture is inspired. And I really like this passage here in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think of this a lot. I've mentioned verses to other people, and they'll say, well, that verse is, you know, this is really getting on people in this verse. Why are you sharing that with me? And I'm like, well, every verse is given for inspiration, for profit, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Because all things pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Because all things pertain to godliness. All things. When all things pertain to godliness, we're not able to add or to take away. Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. That's a scary comment. From the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, I know this is directly relating to Revelations here, but we are given this example not to add or to take away. Because I think it's scary to think if I add or take something away, that God would remove my name from the book of life. Because we are to teach this to all. Earlier I was talking about Paul and the things that he did. That we are to speak this to everyone. Everyone is supposed to hear the gospel. Because in Acts 2 and 5 it says, "And there dwelled in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Now, these Jews were very religious people. But here in Acts 2 and 5, the apostles go to teach Jesus to them. Even the good that were lost, and I have some more supporting verses, because I'd like just to mention about Cornelius. We know that Cornelius was a good man. He's probably a Roman soldier. He's a centurion. In Acts 10 and 1, it says, "A certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion, that was called the Italian regiment." We knew that he was a good person, and he heeded the gospel call. Even to the pagan lost, we are to preach this. We have some supporting verses, and I'd like just to read some verses here. So in Acts 16 and 10, it says, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel there." Now, just a couple passages before this, it was talking about how they were going to go into Asia, but the Spirit told them not to go that way. They were warned not to go that way, but then they were called to Macedonia. Now, why is this important? Well, I'd like just to read a snippet by Brother Heath Rogers. I think many of you may know Heath Rogers. This is just a little snippet of a lesson that he did a few years ago. "Now consider what Macedonia was like. We learn from Acts 16 through 19 that the people in this area were given to idols." So yet again, the pagan lost. "Their worship included sexual immorality and drunkenness, humanism and philosophy abundant in Athens. Witchcraft and sorcery was the popular parcel in Ephesus, which included calling upon demons and the use of mind-altering drugs. Everywhere one went, there was a racial tension and prejudice." So, like I mentioned before, that was from Heath Rogers about the pagan lost. So I thought I would mention this because everyone is meant to hear the gospel call, even those that worship idols. And also the immoral lost. Acts 18 and 8. "Then Cyprus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." They heard the gospel call and were baptized. Now we are also even to preach this to the saved. The saved in Romans 16 and 25. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." So we even know that the saved need to study it and to show thyself approved. Because we must speak this at all times. We must follow it and speak it at all times. And defend it at all times. Galatians 2 and 5 says, "To whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." And I have thought about this. They told them not to even to turn away for an hour. Not to even give into submission for an hour. That to always follow the gospel. Because we are to do this in and out of season. In 2 Timothy 4 and 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." I've thought about this comment here, this in season and out of season. There's a few things I think of when I think of in season and out of season. I think of hunting season. There's an in and out of season. But one of the things that I was thinking that they're probably referring to is probably planting and harvesting. So we have charts and graphs that show us when things are planted and when things are harvested. You know, this has really made me think of when things grow and when things don't grow. Because a farmer may plant their seeds, and in this time frame, they're growing and they don't harvest it till it comes. Which is also interesting to think why schools are out for the summer, because really, there in the summer, there's nothing growing. The only things are growing, things aren't harvested in the summer, which is kind of interesting. So if you think about this, in season and out of season, you're ready. You're ready to preach the gospel, to learn the gospel, to study the gospel. Because we know that time is running out. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 4 and 17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God." Because we're to obey the gospel of God. This is where I ended my last lesson, Matthew 28:19-20. I'd like just to read that again. And as we think about the importance of spreading the gospel, the importance of what the gospel is, and the importance of following the gospel, of everything that I've put together this morning, of all of the songs that we sung, and all the scriptures that we read, it all comes down to obeying the gospel of God. So Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So we know what the gospel call is. The gospel call is pretty simple. It's covered here in these three verses. We know we're supposed to teach the gospel. I know this specific passage is talking directly to the apostles, but it's still a call that we need to do. Therefore, we need to go out and teach and baptize and call ones to the gospel. So if you have any prayers that are needed this morning, or if you would like to become a child of God and follow the gospel call, please come forward and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as we're instructed here in Matthew 28, as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.